We are in Netivot Shalom on Tefillah. We are starting the second Ma'amar Shani called Sha'arei Tefillah, the Gates of Tefillah, on page Kuf Pei Vav Aleph. It says, "Inyan Tefillah nimtza behem koach ha'peula ha'nifla'a asher hi klula." In the topic of Tefillah, there exists within it the tremendous power to create change, to effect change. For a person who, meaning there's a tremendous power within it, for somebody who really is seeking a Kadosh Baruch Hu and wants to get close to Him. It has so many aspects to it that it has the concept of emuna, of being mekabel ma'umachut shamayim completely, serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu with a full heart. Yirah havavet vekut, yirat Hashem, avat Hashem, clinging to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, hachna'ah, subjugating oneself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, hishtach havaya, bowing oneself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'al yidei zeh ba'le tshuva, and all of this brings one to tshuva. This is all the words of the Slonim Rebbe. V'inei, mistaber ki kamo sha'a tfila nimseit ba'koach ha'pi'ula ha'nifla'a l'hashpia, kol ha'inyanim halalu, and since tefillah is so strong that it can do all of these things, shem yisodei ha'Torah, which are foundational to Torah. I mean, the list of things we just went through: emuna, kabbalat mechut shemayim, avodah shebalev, yira, ava, dveikut, hachna, ishtachavaya. All of these things are encompassed within tefillah. Kimochin ha'inyanim halalu hem yisodot mehem tivne v'titchonen ha'tefillah haruya. Just like all these things are contained within tefillah, therefore, on the flip side, these things also serve as a foundation for proper tefillah itself. Therefore, he says, "V'rosh v'rishon l'inanim elu hema ha'emuna v'abitachon shehim hareka haklali l'inyanei tefillah." He says, first and foremost, when it comes to these foundational elements, which form the foundation of tefillah, they're contained within tefillah, but also therefore form the foundation of tefillah, is emuna and bitachon, which is, again, the foundation, the general foundation for tefillah itself. Ki godel bihirut emunato, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomea tefillat kol peh. To the extent that a person has a clarity in their emuna, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears all tefillah, that we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears, listens to, cares about every single one of our tefillot. And that's something which can be very challenging to hold close. That no matter where I'm at in life, what's going on with me, how well I think I'm doing in Avodas Hashem, or how low I feel I'm doing in Avodas Hashem, how close I feel or how distant I feel. The foundational emunah that no matter where I'm at in terms of my Avodas Hashem, where I'm at internally, where I feel we are at in terms of myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears, relates to, cherishes every single tefillah that we give over. V'lo livado ra'u lehitpalel. And that the only being worth davening to, the only meaningful tefillah that there is tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ein lezulato ra'u lehitpalel. There's nothing else, there's no one else that's worthy of being davened to. U'kimidat bitchono she'afilu im eino hagun ve'eino kedai yirachem alav kirachem alim. Like we just said, and that to have a level of understanding and bitachon, that even if I think I'm not worthy, even if I think I don't deserve mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful the same way that a parent is merciful to a child who's in pain, who needs something, who's crying out. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears every single tefillah. There is no point, there is no time in life, there is no scenario in life where we can't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's something to hold so dear, to cherish, to cling on to for dear life in those moments when things are down. When I say to myself, but I haven't davened, lo aleinu, let's say somebody again, lo aleinu, nobody in this room, but that you know, you leave after Shana Aleph, you decide you're not coming back Shana Bet, you end up going to college, and when you're in college, let's say because of just the flow of life and everything that overwhelms you, and going to your classes, and you had it because you were a freshman, you didn't get your choice, and you got stuck with early classes, and then all of the social dynamics, and then you didn't think you were going to start dating, but you met a boy, and what were you going to do? It wasn't your fault. And then between the boy and the early classes, and figuring out how to deal with college, and just getting used to being at home again, and all of these things, suddenly it's 3, 4, 5 months later, and you're like, I haven't davened yet. I haven't davened since I walked off the plane. Not once. I'm going to start davening now. It's a random day in the middle of November. I'm going to start davening now. Oh, I have off for Thanksgiving weekend, and I woke up a little bit early, and I have 10, 15 minutes. I'm really going to open up my sitter. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to talk to me. I'm going to have him bother to talk to him for the last 4 months. Or somebody who goes and davens for the first 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years. A person is tremendous in their avodas Hashem, and they get married, and you get married to someone, and you end up having beautiful children. You end up having a beautiful family, beautiful children, and then you're one child, two children, whatever it is, and you haven't davened in a year, because between your job and your kids, you have no time. And suddenly this miraculous moment presents itself where you can daven, because for no reason at all, it's quiet. But am I really going to pick up a sitter and daven? A Kaddish Baruch, I haven't talked to him in a year. I haven't talked to him in 2 years. I davened for 4 years after seminary. I'm going to start davening now. You're davening every single day for the next year and a half. You're davening and davening and davening. And you get to the end of your second semester of college. And you make a mistake. Lo aleinu, you make a mistake. You make a mistake in terms of how you're related to somebody. You make a mistake in Lashon Hara, lo aleinu. You make a mistake in Kashrus, lo aleinu. You make a mistake in Ben Ish Li'isha, lo aleinu. You do something that you could never imagine yourself having done. You wake up the next morning. You look at your sitter. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to talk to me? The answer is, in all those cases, yes. All those cases are real. All those cases are very real. They don't have to be you. You could be none of those cases. But all three of those cases are very real. And the answer in all of those cases is yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to hear from you. Every tefillah is cherished. And I got to tell you, that tefillah, when you pick up that sitter, when all your whole spiritual being, your Yitzhahara, you don't even realize Yitzhahara is screaming at you, don't do it, you haven't done it in so long, don't start now. And you pick it up. And despite that you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I remember that there was some guy, I don't remember his name, but in Shana Aleph he told me, every single tefillah counts, always pick up that sitter. So I'm talking to you because he told me that I can still talk to you. He loves that tefillah. He loves that tefillah. And that's the beginning of the reestablishment of a relationship that can continue forever. If you let yourself daven that chakras, if you let yourself daven that mincha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to hear our tefillot. And that's the foundation. He's saying that the foundation of tefillah is the emunah, is the bitachon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to hear from us. He always wants us to daven to him. He always wants to hear our tefillos. And he always responds. Even if we not understand how he's responding, even if we not like his response, he always hears. And he always responds. He loves every single tefillah, and at the foundation of tefillah is the emunah and bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always listening. Always listening. Yeah.
Does Hashem still want to hear our tefillah if they mean nothing to us?
I would say with a catch. There are some times in our lives when we don't feel connected to tefillah. And in those moments to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't feel connected to this. But I know it's important to you. And I know that this relationship is important. So I'm davening anyway because I know this is important to you and because I know this relationship is important. That's why I'm doing this. If you do it with that kavana, that's tremendous.
What would be a different way to do it?
I davened yesterday. I'm going to daven tomorrow. It doesn't mean anything. Who cares? I guess I'll just daven anyway. Meaning, I'm owning the fact to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm not feeling it. I'm owning the fact that I don't feel connected. And I'm davening and saying I'm doing this because this is important to you and important to me, even though the feeling's not there right now. That's a tremendously powerful tefillah. Saying I'm doing it despite the fact that I'm not feeling it because this is important. That's a tremendously powerful tefillah. It's a great question. So he says, going back a line, "Ukemidat bitchono shafilu imeno hagun veino kedai yirachem alav kirachem al beno." That have the bitachon that even if it's not proper, even if I don't deserve to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachamim on me, will hear my tefillah and will have rachamim on me, like a parent to a child. Kach niftachim pi v'libo b'tefillah. So too, I'm going to open up my mouth and my heart in tefillah. V'yargish ki omeid hu nochach p'nei Hashem. and feel that I'm mamish standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'shomech libo lefanav, and to pour my heart out. And dafka, when you haven't davened in a long time, sometimes that can be the most powerful tefillah. When you open up that siddur for the first time, you say, no, I'm going to daven anyway. When you relearn how to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you re-engage that relationship, when you've lost it, again, a person shouldn't intentionally leave that relationship behind, lo aleinu. Should never ever leave that relationship behind. But if you do feel that that's happened, that you've lagged, that you haven't been davening, or you haven't davened, to change it up, to daven, to remember that you're just trying to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reestablish that dialogue in a real way. It's so powerful to just start talking, just start pouring out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't think I could it be that I told this story here recently. I feel like I told this story recently somewhere. I haven't told it otherwise in I think a few years. It was such a powerful moment for me in understanding the koach of tefillah, and I think to a certain extent, the strength of women's tefillah dafka, even more than men's tefillah. I was teaching in a summer camp. This was years ago. I was teaching in a summer camp. It's weird that I can say years like that about myself, but it was a legitimately long time ago. I was teaching in a summer camp. I did not connect to the way that they would daven there at all. They had two minyanim. They had the younger kids first, the older kids second. I would go and start putting on my talis and tefillin before the first minyan started, and I finished davening after the second minyan ended. It was like the fastest tefillah ever. There was no emotion. There was nothing going into it. It was just by rote, by the numbers, as fast as possible. Get them to breakfast. Get to sports. That's the main thing. And it was very, very disheartening. And I was teaching the older girls, or maybe the oldest girls, the older girls at the time. I don't remember exactly. It was a while ago. And this was like a month into camp. And I just looked at during one of the chinuch periods, I looked at the girls and I said to them, like, listen, Do you get anything out of this tefillah? Because I don't get anything out of this tefillah. And they're like, no. I said, I'm curious. Do you want to get anything out of tefillah? Like, you guys seem totally disinterested. Do you even want to, like, do you care? And they were like, yeah. I hate the fact that we have to go to this davening where they're davening so fast and there's not enough time to say all the words. And I have to answer things. And I have no idea where we are. Nobody cares where we are. Nobody's passionate. And they were really giving legitimate critiques. And they were at least claiming in theory that they wanted to daven. And so I said to them, listen, you guys seem to want to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What if I were to make an alternative? And so we talked it out, and we talked about what the alternative would look like, and I was really excited about it, and I pitched it to the camp, and to the camp's credit, I can't believe it, they said yes to this crazy idea. I was shocked that they went for it, and kudos to them for going for it. I was given a room in the morning that was not being used, a huge rec room, and we put in there tons of Sidurim, Tehillim, books about tefillah. And basically it ran for the exact same time that tefillah ran, the regular tefillah ran. You had to come on time. You could not walk in late. The second that tefillah started there, you couldn't walk in. It couldn't be an excuse to walk in late to davening. You had to be there before davening started in the regular davening space. You had to be there all the way until then. You couldn't leave. And there was only one room. One room. There was only one rule. The rule was, one rule. You're not allowed to talk to anyone except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could do that by picking up a sitter. You could do that by picking up a tehillim. You could read about tefillah. You could sit in silent contemplation. You could talk in your own words. Whatever you want. And so we designed this together. The camp went for it. We did this. Except for one or two girls, every single girl in that age division came to this alternative davening space. And day in and day out, it was the craziest thing. Day in and day out, girls walked over, tears in their eyes. I've never talked to Hashem before. I talked to Hashem for the first time today for real. I just talked to Him. And the power in their voice, in their eyes, in their tears, all they'd ever wanted to do was to make a relationship with, communicate with, talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in so many ways, our modern-day tefillah system in many places, in many arenas, does not really fulfill that goal. And we need to remember that this is the ultimate goal of tefillah. This is really reaching back to Ma'amar Aleph. We talked about the whole Ma'amar Aleph in the last few weeks has been about dveikut, that tefillah is really about dveikut. It's about just clinging to a connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was spurred by you, Gilana. The idea that if you feel like you're not feeling it, first of all, yes, keep going, because you don't want to stop or you'll never, it's going to be so much harder to get back into it. But to stop and say something here is not connecting and tefillah is about connecting, and to just go and reestablish that dialogue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When I was living in Chutz La'aretz for many, many years, I was very, very blessed that the job that I worked for sent me to Eretz Yisrael. The jobs that I worked for, I usually ended up coming to Eretz Yisrael two, sometimes even three times a year, but usually around twice a year. And every time I came, you know, I would make sure to, in the midst of what were crazy packed trips, like insanely packed trips, to make the time to go to Har Habayit and to daven by the Kotel, but not just to daven Shacharis or Mincha or Maariv. I would usually daven go Maariv time, but to stay afterward. And then when everybody left, to go late at night, catch a Maariv, and then late at night, when it was very quiet, very empty, just sit there and talk to Hashem. How much I missed Eretz Yisrael. I want to come back, davening for my family, for my wife, for my marriage, for my kids, for my students. And to just talk to him about what I really, in a way that I couldn't in Chutz La'aretz. There's a rooftop in Yamin Moshe that I still go back to, that was a very big part of my Shana Aleph and my Shana Bet. They had the chutzpah in this private space to put a gate around it, so that way you couldn't ask. I guess they figured that people were accessing it. So I found a way to climb around the gate. I still go back to that rooftop. I hope you're not listening, people in Yimi Moshe. But I climb around that gate and I still sit on that rooftop. I'm not sure what it is. It's like some sort of storage building or something. It's not clear. It's not a private home. I'm not sure what it is. It's a gorgeous rooftop. It overlooks the whole old city. And you just look up at the stars and look at the old city and the it was my place of reflection. That was a big part of my Shana Aleph, my Shana Bet. And still is part of me today. And just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if it's not connecting, say, okay, this right now, there's a lapse. I can reconnect through tefillah. I can read Svarim about tefillah. I can read, you know, Praying with Fire, whatever the book of the day is. I can read the commentary in the Siddur. But also to just recognize that there's a lapse in that relationship, to find a space to just talk to Hashem. Because that is tefillah. That is tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always listening, especially when, just as much when we're just talking as when we're saying the words of the tefillah from the Siddur.
Why is it that tefillah is so much more... Why is it that people say your tefillah is like answered by the Kotel? Like Hashem's everywhere.
That's saying, like, why don't we just give korbanos in the Chutz La'aretz or other ways, other places in Eretz Yisrael? There's a spiritual power to Har Habayit. That's because it's Shar HaShamayim. That's where the gate to Shamayim is. You're davening at the entryway to Shamayim. It's not a question of can he hear us or can he not hear us. I'm linking into the spiritual electricity of Yerushalayim, of Har Habayit, of Makom HaMikdash. I'm linking into that spiritual energy, and that's energizing my tefillah and uplifting my tefillah. It's not about whether God can hear it or not. It's the capacity of that tefillah itself and the strength of that tefillah itself that's so unique at Har Habayit, the Makom HaMikdash, which is the connection between Shemayim and Arts. I agree. Davening to the Kotel is definitive, unquestionable Avodah Zarah. We agree on that point. That's why I made sure to emphasize that I would. That's why I emphasized the point that I would go to Har Habayit and daven at the Kotel. That's hashkafically correct. Davening to the Kotel is Avodah Zarah. I agree with you. I think think that we should speak correctly, and we don't. I mean, people put notes in the wall as though, like, I don't even know. I don't totally. I mean, it could be that, you know, like somebody out there gives a beautiful Ashkafic shir about why that's amazing. I don't totally understand. It's like, why we need to leave God a note at the wall? We can just talk to him. But okay, if it's more meaningful for you to write, I guess that's fine. But then if you need to write, I don't know why you need to put it in the wall either. I mean, anyway, they just, and when they fall out, they just sweep them up and whatever. But like, it's a true story. But like, you know, I do think, you know, people just like the pictures of them, like, throwing themselves against the wall, kissing the wall. It's just like, I think that we've sort of glorified the wall itself in a way that I think many Jews do not understand, that it is not about the wall. It's really about what's behind the wall, which is the space where the Kodesh HaKadoshim will Be'ezrat Hashem be one day again, as it was before. That I do think is something that we do need to reemphasize in our data. I mean, there was one time, and then we'll get back to the text. But just to understand again that we as Jewish people just are so distant from everything that tefillah is about today. We're so distant as a Jewish people in terms of what tefillah is really about. There was one time, I haven't told these stories in ages. There was one time that I was this at this time of the year. There's something called Birkas HaChama, without getting into what it is. It comes up once, I think, around every 29 years. I think I got that number right. It's called Birkas HaChama, where the sun is at the exact same spot where it was at creation. You say a special bracha, it's a big deal. It only happens a few times in a person's lifetime. So Baruch Hashem, we were in Eretz Yisrael for that. It was around Pesach time, around 6-ish years ago. I don't want to do the math right now in my head, which I can't do anyway because I can't do math. But in any event, so we were here then, and as a Nativ alumni, I was invited to join Nativ on the roof of Nativ Aryeh, overlooking Har HaBayit, to do that chakras at Nates with Birkat HaChama, which was really, really awesome. But I remember at the end of that davening, so during Shemona Esrei, not during the actual bracha of Birkat HaChama, which is just a bracha and a tefillah. It's very powerful and it's a wonderful thing, but I'm saying it's a short moment. I remember during Shemona Esrei seeing a guy, and we were all davening like this. You know, Birkas HaChama once every 29 years, davening, overlooking Har HaBayit on the roof of Yeshiva, you know, and feeling and you know, so many people visiting Eretz Yisrael. And I look up, and there's one guy, we're all facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's one guy who's just facing the other way. He's just facing to his right. And I'm like, what? What could be wrong? There's got to be a davening. What could be, why? They're literally looking at the spot you're supposed to daven to. Why? So afterwards, because again, I have tremendous chutzpah, after davening, I went up to the guy and I said, oh, you know, I'm so curious. I saw that you were davening in a totally different direction. I'm curious why you were davening to the right, facing, you know, in a totally different direction. We were facing the Kotel from this direction. He was facing, I guess, I don't know what direction he was facing. I don't know. He was to his right, 90 degrees to the right. And he said, oh, no. So whenever I stand here and I'm looking at Har HaBayit, I see the Dome of the Rock. And I don't feel comfortable davening to the Dome of the Rock because I feel like it's a Avodah Zarah. So I daven to the right. To which I wanted to say, no, you don't just get to make stuff up. You're facing Har HaBayit. You just turned your side to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You davened in the wrong direction against Halacha. I didn't say any of this, by the way, just to be clear. You're davened against Halacha in the wrong direction. And the greatest stupidity of all is that the Muslims don't daven to the dome. They daven the same direction he was davening to Mecca. So he was davening to Mecca with the Muslims, and we were davening to Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Jews because he was too from to daven facing. Like, we just don't have a concept. We're so busy trying to do our own shtick. We're so busy trying to make this stuff up. Just, we need to get into what it's about. It's not davening to the Kotel. It's davening at the Kotel to Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tefillah is dialogue. Tefillah is conversation. Coming back to what we're talking about. Tefillah is conversation. It's not about being Yotzei, saying the 19 brachot, and getting a check mark next to your name. It's about a relationship. It's about a recognition that we're talking to God. The fact that you have so much... To me, and again, this story, I didn't want to take it from this direction because we've gone in a critical direction anyway. The fact that you can have so easily transformed a room full of teenagers and just say, what do you want? What is tefillah to you? What do you imagine tefillah is? I just asked the question. I didn't come up with this whole new way to daven. I literally looked at a bunch of girls and was like, all right, what would be tefillah to you? How would you feel you connect to God? They came up with the whole thing, and I was like, okay, I'll go ask. I made a... What I put some books around, and I closed the door. Ooh, that's all I did. I asked them what they wanted. And they all wanted to talk to Hashem. We need to tap into that place. We need to tap into that place. We need to start talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. We need to reconnect to Makom HaMikdash again. We need to connect to our Abayit again. This story I feel like I have told recently. I don't know in what context. My Rebbe always likes to turn everything on its head. And there was one time that I was by him for we were here over the summer, so there was Shana Aleph wasn't around, Shana Bet wasn't around, and there were many Friday nights that I went to his house. After we had our meal as a family, I would, my wife, and it was me, my wife, and just my daughter. That was all there were at the time. So we went, and after we ate Friday night dinner, I would go in and go to his house and join his meal, which goes for many hours. And so it was during the 3 weeks, and he always asked everybody to give over a Torah. And so I spoke about, you know, how, you know, it's during the 3 weeks, and it's, you know, it's a very painful time, but this is the meaning that I find in the painful time of the year, that is 3 weeks where we're mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And I spoke about it, and I, you know, whatever I said, what I felt, and it's what he wants, is for you to share Torah from the heart. And so I tried to share from the heart. And then I pushed him, and he spoke at the end. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, and I pushed, and he spoke at the end. And he opened up by saying, I hear what Robbie was saying, but I disagree with Robbie. This is one of my favorite times of the year. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how is this? Baruch Hashem, you can always surprise me and turn anything else. How is the 3 weeks where we're sitting in mourning over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, how is this one of his favorite times of the year? He goes, I'll tell you, you know why? Because the whole year, nobody's ever talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody cares about the Beis HaMikdash anymore. And at least for these 3 weeks, everybody remembers and is talking about Beis HaMikdash. That's how he sees it. That's the Tov. He finds the Tov in everything. At least we're all talking about Beis HaMikdash. That's how he sees the 3 weeks. So yeah, I mean, like, again, it comes down to you. I don't remember who here asked the question. It depends on you in terms of how you relate to Makom HaMikdash, but we all need to relate to Makom HaMikdash. And if for us it seems like Avodah Zarah, then we need to do some really, really deep intellectual work and emotional work to connect to Beit HaMikdash in a new way, in a different way. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to connect to Beit HaMikdash. That's how we're going to bring Geulah. If we don't want the Beit HaMikdash, if that's how we see the Beit HaMikdash, we need to reorient. And it's not anybody's fault in this room. Our tefillah education, our Beit HaMikdash education, are, on all honesty, in my humble opinion, our Eretz Yisrael education, it's all backwards. And we need to work to reconnect. And that's what this is about. That's why we're learning this together. I said this before we even started recording. I mean, like, I haven't learned this piece before. You know, like, I don't know what he's going to say, but like, I feel it's so important that we're learning tefillah, and I'm so impressed that you all chose to be, that you wanted to learn tefillah as the first of our topics, is because this is something we need to reconnect to. And this is something coming all the way back to pull it full circle, and then we're going to go forward in the text, to pull it together full circle. Again, you're gonna, I don't want to say it definitively, because hopefully it won't be true. Many, many, many Jews throughout their lives, many post-seminary girls, many post-yeshiva boys, many Jews full stop, at moments of their lives feel distant. Dare I say, almost everybody at their lives at some point feels distant. There will very likely be a moment in many post-seminary and post-yeshiva boys' lives, some people who maybe are listening to the recording right now, they may be in that space right now, where they feel, where you will feel distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you will not want to daven. And to remember in those moments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear from you anyway. There will be moments, lo aleinu, when people are going to sin. They're going to make mistakes. There are people post-Israel who will make mistakes that they could never have imagined making. Never have imagined a million years making, and I'm not giving a heter to do that by saying that it happens. I'm saying that it's just the reality of life, that it depends on a person's arc post-Israel and post-high school and just over the course of their life. There are mistakes that are made. And when that happens, looking at the sitter and saying, yes, I messed up, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears my tefillot always. And you know what? As embarrassing and painful as it is for me to go and have to say Slach Lanu, not with twice as much kavana, but with a kavana that I've never said before in my entire life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally waiting there. He's standing there in Shemayim. He's holding on to the edge of his metaphorical seat. Are you going to do it? Please open the sitter. Forget the sitter. Just start Shmoneh Esrei. And with as much kavan as you can, say as many tefillas as you can. And when you get to Slach Lanu, ask for slicha mechila, because I want to forgive you. I want to take you back. I want to connect with you. And if you don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares, you're never going to do it. And if you do believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares, and if you do believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers all tefillot, then you'll be able to go and talk to him again. And reestablish that connection. There is never a time where you've gone too far. You can always daven. And what he's saying here, deeper than that, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to hear it. Despite what your self-esteem says. despite what your Yetzer Hara says, despite what every spiritual bone in your body is telling you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear your tefillah and wants to start the road to reconciliation. To reconnecting if you've fallen distant and fallen out, to reconnecting if you've dafka sinned, it doesn't matter. The foundation of tefillah is emuna. Emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares and wants to hear. There is no moment of your life where you can't doubt it. There is no moment of your life where God does not want to hear from you. And that can get us through anything. That can get us through anything.
So why does Hashem make us like have us be challenged sometimes to doubt? He wants us to doubt, and why do we feel, I know, pressure to do it sometimes?
Why do we feel...
We're like, not pressure to do it, just feel like that we can't do it sometimes.
Why do we feel like sometimes we don't feel into it?
Yeah.
Because tefillah is avoda. We're not supposed to. Again, we've mentioned this before, but now let's hear it from a different place. Tefillah is avoda. It's not meant to be like I plug in and I feel like I'm recharged. Tefillah isn't something from which you take. That's how it's pitched. We're going to have the most amazing, spiritual, energizing tefillah. It's going to be awesome. Stop. Stop with that. It's shtuyot. It's sheker. That implies that's what tefillah is supposed to be. Something which energizes me. Something which makes me feel spiritually uplifted. That is not what tefillah is. Tefillah is me working my spiritual kishkas. It's a technical English word. It's me working my spiritual kishkas to connect to God. And as my Rebbe Rav Amos puts it, he says, if you do feel spiritually uplifted, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. That's a symptom that you had a good tefillah. But that was never should have been the goal of the tefillah. In which case, if that was your goal, it was never avoda. It was avodat atzmecha, it was self-service, if that's why you went to davening. But if you, in the process of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and working to do that, you felt that closeness and felt uplifted, that's a sign that you davened well. That should never be the goal. Because tefillah is avoda. Because kavana is avoda. I mean, everybody is spaced out or diagnosed with ADD or ADHD or add whatever letters together that you want to this age.
If we're just saying the words for Hashem, then why does it...
To connect to Hashem.
She's saying if it's hard to connect to Hashem, then you're saying it's not about that. It's not about the way that you feel. So then why do we have to daven with kavana? Why can't we just say the words if it's really just for Hashem? Why do we have to force ourselves to connect to it?
What?
Why do we, if you're saying something
about... Honestly, I don't really care that much.
What?
I don't really care that much. I was trying to pay attention, but I spaced out a little bit. Oh, you mean that when you're talking to somebody and they're sharing something meaningful and personal, it's important to be focused and care about that conversation?
Oh, so yeah. It's as well.
Yeah, it's on both sides. It's about
so
a relationship.
Also be with it.
By the way, that was all fake. I wasn't actually chas v'shalom. But look at how many of you, watch how many of you in the room literally stop dead. Like, I can't believe he just said that. I want to be very clear. And that was my response to your question in a way that I think my words could never have expressed. When we come in and don't daven with kavana, we're saying, I don't really care to focus. And that's part of the avoda of tefillah. Is yes to say, even though I'm spaced out, even though I have a million things going on, I am focused on this because this relationship is that important and because I care. Think about it from that perspective.
We always try to focus.
And accept my apologies. Yes.
We always try to focus, just when it's not that possible.
It's always possible. And if it's not possible, then you express that. Let's bring it down. Let's bring it down to the relationship between a husband and a wife. Right? Let's bring that relationship between a husband and a wife for a second, okay? You know, again, there are times, I think I might have mentioned in Nishirim before. I mean, there are times when you know, Shoshana, my wife, which I had to clarify for you, Shoshana, when Shoshana says to me, everything. I pretend that I forget, but I really don't. So there are times when Shoshana, you know, and I are talking, are talking, or she comes to me and says, I really, really want to share something with you. And like, it's just not the right time. And I'm exhausted and I can't focus or whatever it is. And I can say, like, listen, this is clearly really important to you. I'm just exhausted from the day. I really want to hear you. Sometimes the answer is, I'm going to fight through it. But if you see me not as focused, it's not because I don't care. And sometimes it's, let's talk about this tomorrow once I'm slept because I really want to hear you. It depends on the nature of what's going on. But same thing, turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I mean, there are definitely times I've done this, especially if I went back and I don't even know if they're really available now, even here, which thank God has not been an issue. But like, you know, in the JLIC days when I was working like a dog in all hours of the day and it didn't really matter what was day and what was night, there was no sense of time. And we had a minion factory near the house and I would go to like a midnight Marv or something like that. I remember even once or twice where I just totally didn't realize that I blew past it and I was davening Marv at like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning or three o'clock at night. I was just dead. And I went in and I said, similar to what I think I expressed to either, I think it was Gilana, I think Gilana was yesterday. Similar to what I expressed to Gilana before, where I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and again, this is a real thing, to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am so tired. I am so spaced out. I just can't right now. I am here for one reason and one reason alone. We talk 3 times a day. And even though I know that this is not going to be our best conversation because I am a wreck and I am exhausted and all I want to do is go to sleep, the very fact that I'm here is a dedication to you. The very fact that I'm standing here for 15 minutes and davening is a dedication to you. And it's not going to be my best tefillah, but this tefillah is dedicated to you because I care about you and this is the best I got right now. To come from it like that, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't like, that's the most beautiful thing ever. I'm owning who I am and where I am. I'm owning where my avodah is right now. My avodah right now is just to get to shul and say the words. And sometimes that's what it is. But to look at that and instead of looking and saying like, say no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have nothing in me. I'm davening to you because I care and I want this relationship.
But that probably means like, even though your wife is probably like an amazing person and whatever, I
wasn't pushing back, yeah.
Oh, okay. she probably doesn't love when you say, like, oh, I have nothing. I'm saying, like, she probably gets it, but, like,
yes, you're right. So I would say two things to that. Number one is nobody's arguing that it's not bidyeved. The goal is to make sure that you're awake and connected and comfortable and able to focus when your spouse wants to talk to you, when you want to talk to you. The goal is to always daven marav, not at midnight and not at 2 a.m., but at 6:30 p.m. or 7 p.m. when you are awake, and to prioritize that, which I do most days because of that, because I get exhausted when it gets to be late at night. So I'm saying I always daven Marav. I try to always daven Marav very early. Like my bidyeved Marav is the 10:45 next door, and that's only in like worst case scenario, break class in case of emergency. Like I'm always, depending on the time of year and when you can daven Marav, except for like the summertime, like, you know, a 7 o'clock, 7:30 type of person, like to make sure that I daven early enough that I am focused and I'm not thinking about getting to bed. But on those days where it happens, okay, so you're saying, I'm admitting that this is not ideal, but in life, things don't always go ideally, and owning it versus not owning it, I mean, what's the only thing, think from a real relationship perspective, don't just automatically plug it back into God, think from a real relationship perspective, think about somebody you care about, a parent, a sibling, a friend, whatever the case is for you in this stage of your life right now, and that you have something you want to share, and they said, listen, I really, really want to hear you, I'm telling you, I am passing out, having nothing to do with you, I just had an exhausting day. We can talk, but if you see me looking tired, just know it's because I'm tired, not because I don't care. Nobody's disagreeing with you that's not bidyeved, so to speak. That's not ideal. But would you rather that honestly than that person start to nod off while you're talking to them? That would be really hurtful. Or than just blowing you off entirely. I'm saying, I want to hear you, but what can I do? What can I do? I'm just so tired. If you want to talk tomorrow, let's talk tomorrow. You know? And to at least say that. The second thing is that, you know, so let's leave it at that. Yeah.
You say that like when you have a bad dog and you're like, I know this is like not our best conversation. You would tell God that. But the difference between that and with your wife is that you actually have conversations with your wife and every single day you have the same conversation with God because you're just saying the same words 3 times a day.
So I would respectfully disagree in both fronts. I have very often almost the same conversation with my wife, and in the same way that it's different with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Meaning, when I talk to my wife, when we get home, I say, oh, honey, how was your day? Meaning, like, that's how you start off the conversation. But it's the same question every day. How was work? How was the commute? Meaning, there are a list of questions that are always the basic questions of the day. Those questions are very similar, and sometimes the answers are very similar, but it's the consistent connectivity, care, and concern. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting to have that continuous connectivity, and those small and subtle differences make all the world of a difference when you really know somebody. So too when you daven, which part of Shemoneh Esrei is highlighted? Whether you, when you hear Lo Aleinu, there's an alum whose child is their first child in the NICU having seizures. You know, my Rifa'inu is different right now this week than it was last week. Is it the same words? Yes. Is my Rifa'inu totally different? Yes. Is there more emphasis on my Rifa'inu than there, like, that's where some of my Kamana is going right now. It's because I'm thinking about their kid, and we had preemies who were in the hospital for a long time also, and I totally understand where he's coming from. Baruch Hashem, they didn't have seizures. Seizures are much more frightening in my humble opinion, which is totally non-medical. But they're like, it's much more frightening, and that's where my emphasis is. Do the words change? I mean, I add the name, but my Rifa'inu is totally different. My Rifa'inu is totally different, you know? When I'm saying, I mean, whatever the tefillah may be, everybody has their own thing. Whatever the tefillah is, whether it's Chonin Hadat because you're you know, I'm struggling with keeping up with Daf Yomi, whether it's but the emphasis I put in, that changes. The conversations are similar, but it changes.
But why can't it just be you? Why can't you just talk to God?
You can also do that.
But you can also, but it would make it more real if it was all just you.
Again, that's a separate conversation, which is an important one, about what is the value of consistently saying the same words, which Chazal, the Anshei Kenes HaGadola, clearly felt was important, and there is a lot to back that up. A lot in terms of meditation, a lot in terms of internal work, a lot in terms of consistency, on so many different levels, each of them requiring shiurim of their own and books of their own, which have been written and you can read. But then one needs to understand this. If Anshei Kenes HaGadola said this is the way to daven, then there's something to that we need to link into and we need to connect to. In addition to that, if you don't connect to that yet, then just also talk to Hashem. Also talk to Hashem. Make that room.
Do you get anything out of that? Do you get a mitzvah out of that?
What?
Like, you get a mitzvah out of davening, you get a mitzvah out of just talking about
it. I don't know if you get a mitzvah for it, per se, of tefillah. I don't know.
Girls get a mitzvah of davening. A teacher told me.
It could be that a teacher told you that. I'm not going to argue with a teacher.
Is it the same value if I just talk to God?
No, there is a specific mitzvah to daven in the formula as it was prescribed. Again, I don't know if there is a specific mitzvah in it or not, but either way, do you increase your connectivity with the Kaddish Baruch Hu? Is it avodah shebalev? Yes, it is. It fulfills the goal of tefillah. And that's a huge thing. I'll take one more question, and then I want to go back to the tests. That was all really important, but I do want to see if we can get a little farther in the text. Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Like my friend would be, and if she's exhausted, it would be like, no, we just talk tomorrow. So can I do that with God?
No, but again, any mashal is imperfect in that it's a mashal. If it was the thing, then it wouldn't be a mashal, it would just be the thing. Any mashal is always going to be an imperfect mashal, by definition. Meaning, if you're talking about, for an Ashkenazic woman, shachris or mincha, the answer is, that's really nice that in my life, I would just say, let's just talk tomorrow. God says, no, let's talk right now. We still have to say Shemoneh Esrei. Meaning that the chiyuv still is, meaning there's a whole other level of just a chiyuv of a mitzvah. Okay? There's a whole other level of a chiyuv of a mitzvah. But to at least own up to that in the context of that thing of Chiyuv, I think is important to use the model of the human relationship to understand the meaning behind that, I think is helpful. Okay, let's take it forward in the text. Got a little intense, sorry. Okay. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines in to the second paragraph. It says Libo Lefanav in the beginning of the line. Libo Lefanav for all of you who are following inside. Libo Lefanav. Libo Lefanav. It's great. Just take it in. I don't care. It's all good as long as we're getting the ideas. Let's go. Libo Lefanav, full stop. V'chein tiyet tfilato mikubelet lefanav yibarach. And so too that a person's tefillah is received by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. K'ma'amar Maran Baal Beit Avram Zerod, Zigarlin al Pasuk, V'atchanan al Hashem, the beginning of Parshat V'atchanan, when Moshe Rabbeinu, in the second Parshat of Devarim, he turns and he davens his heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'atchanan al Hashem, I daven to Hashem, I supplicated and cried out to Hashem. Dita V'chazal, Chazal say that when Moshe there at the end of Torah cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Moshe hitpalel taf, kuf, tet, vav, tfilot, kiminyan V'atchanan, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tfilas, which is the gematria of V'atchanan. He mamish davened everything he had in him, and that where he requests one last time to go into Eretz Yisrael, even though he was not allowed to. He begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go into Eretz Yisrael at the very in the second parsha of Devarim. Uperush al pi mamar katuv, and it's explained. The Sfanimer explains it based on the pasuk with Intilim, which says, "Panei el tfilat har er velo baza et tfilatam tikatev zot lidor acharon ve'am nivra yahalel ka." Sheish, whatever, we'll see what that pasuk means as he explains it. Sheish tzoakim harbe ve'einam ne'anim. There are those who mamish cry out a lot, and they're not answered. Ve'ad shelibam mitpotzitz bikirvam, until mamish their heart is bursting inside of them. Ach emeti sheyudi mechuyav lehamin ki kol tfila v'afilu tznu'a ba'alma sheyudi pone l'Kadosh Baruch Hu eina olechet li'ibud. He says a person can mamish, they pour their heart out and nothing happens. And so many of us have been there. We pour our heart out and nothing happens. Our heart bursts in tefillah and nothing happens. And he says here, the truth is that a Jew is michuyav, is required, is obligated to believe, to know, because it's true, that every tefillah, and even just a tznuah, even just an act of tefillah, even just turning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's not with the words themselves like you brought up before, even if it's just a movement toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we turn to Him. Eino holechet liibud, it all counts. None of it goes to waste. HaKadosh Baruch Hu treasures and cherishes every single thing. As if the Nesiv HaShalom were answering your question. Everything counts. Nothing goes to waste. And we're mechuyav to believe that. We're obligated to believe that. V'zeh she'amar ha-katuv, panel tfilat ha-arer, ha-arer hu eitz sarik ha-gadol, b'midbar ve'ein bo shum lach-luchit. It says, turn to the tefillah of the Ar-Er. So he says, he defines that, I don't know what an Ar-Er is, he defines it as this a tree, a large tree that grows in the desert, which is totally dry. Afilu tefillah yevesha she'in bo lach luchit kedusha b'chinat tefillat Ar-Er. He says, even if you're mamish, and again, so many questions are asked, he's relating, the Nesivot Shalom is relating to exactly what you're talking about, what you're asking about. Even if your tefillah is dry like a tree in the middle of a desert, there isn't an ounce of, there's no moisture in it at all. There's no life in it at all. You're dry and dead. Says the Pasuk, says the Nesiv HaShalom. Afilu tefila yaveisha she'in balaluchit, even a dry tefila. Gam betefila kazo lo baza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even turn away from that. He hears everything. He wants whatever you've got. Whatever you have, He wants. Then it says further, that'll be written for the last generation. This is written for the generation that's leading up to the Mashiach, that comes right before the Mashiach, that's us. Where the darkness is going to be tremendous. There are going to be so many people, says Zivram, in our generation, in the footsteps of Mashiach, in our generation, so many people crying out who feel like they're not being answered. Could that be more true? So many people crying out and davening and feeling like they're not being answered. Yikatvu zot aluach libam ki be'emet HaKadosh Baruch Hu poneh afilot v'at ha'er. You have to write it we have to inscribe it in our hearts that in truth the HaKadosh Baruch Hu always turns to us, and no matter how dry or how dead the tefillahs of our generation are. Because we're at the end. We talked about a tefillah, the simple example of loser me, who didn't daven until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, every once in a while. And I'm standing there and just like davening right before I pass out. That's where we're at as a Jewish people. It's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning of history. We're dead to the world. We're emotionally spent. We're spiritually spent. We're psychologically spent. The fact that there can be people Let's be honest. A lot of us here, even in Shana Aleph, learning all day and davening all day, and we still don't feel anything, or we don't feel much. That's because we're at spiritual 2 a.m. of Jewish history. We are that place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to this person, this is what Shalom is explaining. Just davening even a dry tefillah, that's bringing Geula. Anybody who davens in this generation, despite this generation, despite how exhausted we are, as a people, as a nation, as a history, just davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, my children are still talking to me. Look how exhausted they are. Look how much they've been through. My children are still talking to me. Just picking up the siddur, just saying the Shemona Esrei. That's the power of even doing that. Kal v'chomer if we can actually raise it up. V'shomea tefilat kol peh, here's the tefillah of every single mouth. Afilu tefillah yivesha, even a dry, dead tefillah. Umashelo na'ana, top of the next column. Umashelo na'ana ki yesh cheshbonot lemala, im tov avuro sheit mali mevukasho. And the fact that the person doesn't seem to be answered, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu has all of his calculations in terms of whether or not to specifically answer the request or not. And when to answer it. I'm davening for this thing. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu may say no, or a Kadosh Baruch Hu may say not yet. I don't understand, but I just don't see it happening, and that's how I feel like I'm not being answered. Through this emunah that we were designed to daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though I'm not seeing the results that I want, I keep davening, because that's not what it's about. It's not about getting what I want. It's about asking for it and knowing that I asked, that if it was meant to be, it will come. If it's not meant to be, it's not going to come. And if it's meant to be, it'll come right now, or it could come later in its right time. But I just keep asking. I just keep talking. I just keep relating. I just keep connecting. And those tefillos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is treasuring till the end of time. And this is what Moshe would daven so many tefillas. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was davening mamish, according to Chazal, 515 tefillos in that one time. And the answer was no. I mean, listen, this is Moshe. The tefillas don't get bigger than Moshe. Moshe's davening 515 tefillos just to enter into Eretz Yisrael at the end of his life, at the end of the Torah. There's no turning back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu there explicitly, he's not even, there's no murkiness there. He responds, it's in the Torah, he says, no, it's not meant to be. This is not what's going to happen. Shekacha Eretz Noi Brach, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. The answer was in that case, the answer is no, this is not the right thing, this is not good. It was for the good of Klal Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed in, without getting into that whole sugya. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't let you in. If you care about these people, if you want life for these people, you can't go in. For whatever reason, that's the cheshbon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the calculation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach etzem tefilotav nitkablu, but the essence of his tefillah was received. He was heard. They connected. They talked. The response was no, but the dialogue happened. The connectivity happened. The spiritual impact happened, even if the answer is no. And the impact of those 515 tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though the answer was no, the thing didn't happen, but the tefillos, what the impact that they had was tremendous. That even though he couldn't go in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him, he takes him up to the mountaintop and he shows him what the impact of his tefillah, even though the answer was no in terms of going into Eretz Yisrael, the impact that his tefillah had in terms of just fixing the world. An answer of no is not an unanswered tefillah. We need to reorient to that. An answer of no is not an unanswered tefillah. An unanswered tefillah is from a cold God who doesn't care and isn't listening. The answer of no is from a loving and compassionate God who says, this is not meant to be, and I love you, but I can't give this to you, because you think it's good, but it's not really good. That's a conversation. That's a dialogue. That's a relationship. That's connectivity. An unanswered tefillah is not the same thing as an answered tefillah of no. And the impact of that tefillah is still there, even if the answer is no. V'sefer ben Porat Yosef, Mibal HaToldo Tzichotoy Analino, Mevi, the Tolo Yaakov Yosef, one of the main Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, says, Shamati Mimori, I heard from my master, the Baal Shem Tov, Inyana tefillah Yamin, Kishayitse Mipiv Nusach HaTefillah, Masha Shuel Miyad Hu Ne'ena. That a person needs to have emunah. That the second that the tefillah comes out of my mouth, the second that the words established by the Ansang Ezra, the second that the words exit my mouth of tefillah, the second that I ask, it's immediately responded to. There's no lag. There's no lapse. It's immediately responded to. And if it ever seems like it's not responded to and it's not answered, it's just hidden from us how we're being responded to. But the response is always there. The emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears our tefillah is one of the foundations that our tefillah is able to be accepted. Meaning, the only thing that can keep my tefillah from being accepted is if I lack the emunah that my tefillah is accepted. I'm the only thing that can hold back my tefillah. The only thing that can keep my tefillah from going up is if I don't believe it's going to go up. That's the only thing that can weight it down. Is if deep down I don't think it's going anywhere. If I believe it's not going anywhere, it won't go anywhere. That's the only thing that can hurt a tefillah. That the emunah, when we have emunah in something, our emunah itself fuels it forward. That's the koach of emunah. That's the koach of believing in something. It fuels itself forward. And through my belief in that tefillah, I push it along to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvichlal ha'emunah achut ha'mishulash. And particularly these three cords of emunah that are the strength of the emunah itself, and those three cords that are the strength of emunah are aleph, ikar ha'emunah b'ashkachatu ha'pratit barach, the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always guiding us in divine providence, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding every second of my life, every second of every day of my life. I just spoke to actually somebody, a different Shana Aleph student from a different place, who was struggling with this point, that a teacher in their school, Ted, told them, I felt two times in my life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been involved. And every time, every once in a while, he does step in. I said, Chas v'shalom. We sat talking about it for half an hour. Chas v'shalom. Chaval, that this person who he feels this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's projecting it on you and taking it away from you. Chas v'shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omniscient. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond. He has no limitations. So if he can be involved in every second of his life, of your life, why wouldn't he? Give me a reason he wouldn't. Unless it's that he doesn't care, in which case, chutzpah on you for thinking HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. If you believe that God exists, and that he can do anything, and that he cares, of course he's involved in every second of your life. And the only reason to deny that, the only reason to go against that, is to pretend, is to convince yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not really in life. That gives you a heter to believe, to not be in his life. He's involved in every second of our life. His hashkacha is in every second of our life. Every single moment that you're here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you here. Every single second you're somewhere else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings you there. Every class you go to, every tiyu you end up going on, every person you interact with, this person you sit next to at the lunch table, the roommate you were assigned to, the apartment mates and the roommates you were assigned to. Every single thing that happens in life, when dinner's on time and when dinner's late, every single thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding everything to maneuver the pieces that you are exactly where you need to be. That's the main emunah. The aleph of emunah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding us. Shuboreu manhig. That he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created everything and he's guiding everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, does, and will do for everybody everything that they need. Number two. And it follows, therefore, that the only being worthy of davening to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He is the ultimate mover of reality. He is the only mover of reality. Nothing happens without Him, and everything that happens is because of Him. And Gimel number 3, Ki HaBorei Barach Shomea Tfilat Kol Peh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears every tefillah. Every tefillah. He's in charge. He's the only person worth davening to, and every tefillah is accepted. Every tefillah is heard. 3 lines to the end of the paragraph. V'rachamav v'chasadav miyuchadim al b'nei Yisrael, and that His mercy and His chesed is uniquely geared toward b'nei Yisrael. Af al pi she'eino hagun ve'eino kedai, even if we're not deserving, even if we're in the dumps, even if we've messed up personally or nationally, it doesn't matter. He always is waiting for our tefillos. V'shu'at einayim atat tishma tzakat adal takshiv v'toshid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always hears our tefillot, always hears our prayers. Yeah.
The whole thing that you said about, like, if you don't have emunah in your tefillah, then that becomes like your tefillah. Doesn't that contradict everything? Because you, Hashem wants all of our tefillahs and hears all of our tefillahs, but if you don't believe in them, is that what I'm saying?
No, I actually don't understand.
Is that before that, like, that if you don't have the emunah in your tefillah, then
Hashem isn't going to, that's what's going to affect your tefillah if I'm being answered from Hashem. But wasn't, like, when you see through this whole thing, that, like, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a Munai, whether you're whoever. No, we said it doesn't matter where you are, as long as you believe. I mean, I was trying, I spent this whole time emphasizing that you need to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to hear your
tefillot. Because
the only thing that can impede your
tefillot
is you believing that your
tefillot
aren't going anywhere.
But the whole thing of, like, that if your five years out of seminar and then Hashem still wants to hear from you.
Right, but if you believe He doesn't, and you say, I guess I could try to daven, but He's not really listening. Your lack of belief in the koach of tefillah, that can kill the tefillah. That's the only thing that can kill the tefillah. If you say, I'm a nothing, and I have no right to daven, but I remember that I can daven no matter what, then it'll go up, even though you may in fact be nowhere. The lack of emunah in your own tefillah. The lack of emunah in the koach tefillah. The lack of emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu is listening to all tefillah. Let's get to bed. Let's fly. Let's get to bed. So we'll have seen Aleph. Let's get to bed. We're going to make it happen. What? No, to get to bed. No! That was you all being exhausted from a Shabbaton. That's not... That was hearing what you wanted to hear. For any of you, I know, and you know what? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees your learning also. I see many eyes that are at half mast. Yes, I see them, and it's okay, and no judgments. I see some of you whose eyes are half closed and trying to keep them open. Amongst others, yes. I'm saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates that you're here and you're staying and you're getting what you can. Before I even came in, somebody was like, I don't remember who it was, or somebody in this classroom, I don't know. Somebody after Seder Vav was like, just so you know, nobody's going to be awake for Night Seder tonight. So you all are doing, you guys are doing great. No, after Seder Vav. She just said, just don't be upset if people are out. Yeah, it's after Shabbaton, I totally understand. But despite that, those who are with me, if anybody is still with me, let's keep going. We're going to get to the letter bet. The letter bet. We have one long paragraph left. Let's see if we can pull it together. We have 8 minutes. I think we can do it.
We're starting bet or we're still here?
To get to bet. We are right now here and we're gonna get to here. Okay? No. That much faith I don't have. We're gonna get anyway, but before we derail, let's keep it together. A few minutes more. Let's keep it together. Ulamala. We're in the last paragraph on the first page. Ulamala. Ulamala mikoach emuna. Yishkoach ilai yoter lahamshich hoshia v'hu inyana bitzachon. And even higher than... Guys, come on. Really, over here specifically. Ulamala mikoach emuna. Even greater, even higher than the koach of emuna itself, There's an even greater koach, an even greater power in tefillah, and that is that can bring about Yeshua, that can bring about salvation, that can bring about change. That's bitachon. What is bitachon? Gam be'etcha katrogim machivim et Yeshua. Even when the prosecutors are in Shemayim are yelling about us and saying that there's no way that we could be redeemed, we don't deserve it. Habitachon ha'amiti u'bifchinat trufat pele asher yishaber daltot nechoshet uvrichei barzel. True emistic bitachon, belief, connection, trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a tremendous, it's a remedy for anything. It can mamish break down steel doors with iron locks. You can knock down the gates of Shemayim with full bitachon. Heyot v'hu kibein haboteach al rachamei aviv. To know and to feel, I am a child who is begging for my parents' mercy. That I am, again, no matter where I am in life, no matter what I've experienced, no matter what's happened, no matter what, I always have been and always will be the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like it doesn't matter how much there is a rift between a parent and a child, nothing can change the biological fact that the child is the child of the parent and the parent is the parent of the child. And by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that bond is tremendous. And for me to, it doesn't matter what I did. We often connect things to a spousal relationship. Yeah, in a spousal relationship, lo alinu, lo alinu, lo alinu. Things can get bad to a point where the two can walk away from each other. There is such a thing. With parents and children, there is no such thing. Our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is on many layers. And that's the layer of parent and child. It's a bond that can't be broken. And to know that no matter how far I've gone, that yes, if I were talking in the realm of a spousal relationship, yes, maybe the person would have divorced the other person by that point. Maybe that could be true. But that's not the part of the relationship that I'm focusing on now. I'm focusing on the fact that I'm the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it doesn't matter what I did. No matter how bad I acted, no matter how far I went, no matter how many sins I may have done, nothing stops the fact that I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu's child. Nothing can break that relationship. And I turn to him and I cry out like a child to a parent, which relationship is eternal. For Rachmim, for my father in Shemayim. Even though it's not proper, and it's not, I don't deserve to be responded to. You can move. No prosecuting angel can stand in the way of a child begging for mercy from their parent. Nothing can stop such a tefillah. As is hinted to in Tehillim, Keili Keili Lama Azavtani. David HaMelech cries out, Keili Keili Hashem, my Hashem, why have you abandoned me? Elokim ekra yomam velo taneh velayla velo dumiya li. I call out during the day and you don't answer. I cry out at night. Becha bitcho avotenu bitcho tefaltemo vegomer ki batchu velo boshu. Perush bezman Esther, when we're in a time of Hester, when we're in a time when things are hidden. Sha'azu bivchinat keili ekra yomam velo taneh velayla velo dumiya li. In times of darkness, when it seems like we're crying out during the day and crying out at night, and the answers aren't coming. Yish eitza achat. There's another way. There's only one way, but there's another way. V'hi al derech becha batchu avotenu, batchu tefaltemo. Our fathers had bitachon in you. We have bitachon in you. You're going to save us. Top of the next page. Ki al inyana bitachon ne'amar shekol kivicha lo yivoshu v'lo yikamu lenetzach kol achosim bach. So when it comes to bitachon, we're told that anybody who hopes for you, anybody who turns to you, they'll always be taken care of by you. V'zo ha'ita darkat Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda. This was the level of Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, who said, Ani Ashein al mitati, I'm lying on my bed, v'chulei. Mitoch bitachon malei bishuato yiparach, meaning his bitachon is what managed to save him. V'ukimo dichtiv midrash, sochar tov, as the midrash says, ala pasuk, keli becha batachti kel ovesh avosha. Mashal le'ach Sinai, it's like a guest, a visitor. Shabal le'ir ha-melech, it's like this visitor who comes to a town, he comes to the town of the king. Velan b'chutz, and he sleeps outside. Mitza'u shomri ha-melech v'yitchilu la'akot bo. The officers of the king find him sleeping outside the castle, and they go and they start to hit him. Amar le al tachoni shemi b'nei bayit ha-melech ani. Holichu lifnei ha-melech. Amar le ha-melech makira ta'oti. Amar lo lav. Amar le ha-melech im kain. Ech amarta she'atami b'nei beiti. Amar le, eini b'nei beitcha. Ela batachti b'cha uvrov chastacha. Amar le amelech ho'il vivatach hanichu lo. V'kach amar, speedily says, the mashal is as follows. So this guy walks into a town, and he comes into the town, and he goes, and he has nowhere to go. He sleeps outside of the king. He sleeps outside of the palace. And the guards see this guy, this bum, sleeping outside of the palace. What do you think you're doing? And they start beating him. He says, No. I'm part of the king's inner circle. Please, I'm part of the inner circle. Don't touch me. And they drag him in front of the king. And the king says, who are you? He says, You said you were part of my bed. I don't know who you are. He says, do I know you? And the guy says, no, you don't know me. He says, what do you mean I don't know you? You told them in front that I know you. How could you? What, you lied? And he says, no, I told them that you knew me because I know that the second they brought me before you and you saw me in person, I believed in your chesed, I believed in your rachamim, that you would take pity on me. All I needed to do is to get before you. All I needed to do is get before you. And I knew that you would have pity and you would have mercy on me. Amar le Amelech, so the king says to him, Ho'ilu vivatach, since you believed in my chesed, since you believed in my rachamim, you believed in my capacity for mercy, Hanichulo, he takes care of him. V'kach amar David, and David says, Keli becha batachti, I believe in you, I trust in you. Kela vosha, adkan. Habi orbekol zeh, what does all this mean? Shekol kama shekoach hatfila mo'il al yedea dveikut v'ashem she mimateket hadinim. That to the extent that the koach ha-tefillah is able to have clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to sweeten all the judgments, harei koach ha-bitachon ha-gamor godel od yoter, even greater than that is the bitachon that we need to have, to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us, loves us, wants to hear us, is going to take care of us. Ki yesh bazeh darga ila'it biyoter shel tefikut b'Hashem. It's an even higher level of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to deeply believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares and He's going to take care of me no matter what. V'im becha batachti kelavosha, v'lekach emunah v'bitachon, heim mina yisodot. The foundation of tefillah, the primary foundation of what makes our tefillah heard, of what brings our tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's our emunah and bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our emunah and bitachon that He wants to hear us, that He's always listening, that every tefillah is accepted. And that we always can be heard, both because He tells us we're always heard and because we are the banim and banot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shantam HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us that we should always feel that we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always feel that our tefillahs are connecting to Him. And in those moments, lo alinu, if we don't or if we feel down, to keep this in our back pockets, to keep this in the back pocket, the depths of our hearts, that when that time comes, we can open out, let it flow out, still talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connect with Him, because those tefillahs are going to be what brings us back, and those tefillahs ultimately are going to bring the Ge'ulah. B'ezrat Hashem, b'mehirah bi'aminu. Yishkoach, everybody.